Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe to camera, John.
John Giglio.
Joe to camera, Joe Giglio. He's in for Richie today, 94 WIP. Richie will be back on Monday getting a little time away with his family, which is awesome stuff. Carson Wentz, speaking of time, his time will be soon, in about a month, to, you know, new data to put him on the field and see what he's got in year five. Now, Joe, you and I have been talking a lot today about Carson, and you know, just to cut to the chase, amongst other things, look, it was Ike's walking in the room. Ike's walking in the room right now. So I had said earlier, and this is a unique opportunity, Joe, as you know, for you and I to host a show together. A lot of people label us as haters, which is unfortunate because I certainly am not. But to cut to the chase, the things that I've said about Carson is he's good, but not nearly as good as a lot of people think he is. He is someone who is an example of someone who can be a franchise quarterback without being an elite quarterback. And there are many examples of that. Matthew Stafford's an example of that. Tony Romo for years was an example of that. A franchise quarterback, but not an elite quarterback. Kirk Cousins is an example of that. He's been a franchise quarterback for two teams. And his own organization, the Eagles, have their doubts about him, which is the main reason why they drafted a quarterback in the second round. And I know, Joe, you agree? And
yeah, well, especially that last point. I mean, I think they clearly have doubts about him. He's here. He's here now. He's the franchise quarterback. And I think he can still be really good. Look, he hasn't been the same guy since 2017, and it's pretty clear. And the other thing that I really feel when I watch him is that there are certain guys you win because you have them. You win because you have Russell Wilson. You win because you have Patrick Mahomes. And there's certain guys you win with. And Carson Wentz has settled into becoming a win-with quarterback. You win with him, but he's not the driving force to a championship team. That's
now
not
look,
what he's been.
Look who just settled into the studio here.
Yeah, do you need your eyes checked?
My eyes are fine. I mean,
are you sure?
I could use new frames, but I could see with them.
Oh, my goodness, man.
What's the problem, Mike?
I mean, I've never seen a guy with an extra set of eyes who still can't see. I mean, my goodness. They don't win because of Carson Wentz?
They win with him.
Wow.
Well, in December, he was outstanding.
Wow.
Tell him, Mike. I've been fighting the fight all day.
Well, here's what I would ask Joe. Throughout Carson's career here, you got to name me the games where he played bad and they won in spite of Carson Wentz.
That doesn't happen often.
It never happens.
Well, I'll throw this in as a positive on Carson Wentz. He rarely plays bad.
Okay. Thank you for being.
I'll give you one.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. He was horrendous in the first half of the game versus the Giants last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they won that in large part. He got going in the second half. Boston Scott also stepped in for an injured Miles Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
On the whole, if we were to look up his numbers, and I don't know them off the top of my head, mm-hmm. but he was so bad in that home game. And they won it. Mm-hmm. Overtime touchdown to Zach Ertz. But he was god awful in the first half. And they won the game.
Did they win the game in spite of Carson Wentz?
Well, I mean, you can make
that's a no, Joe.
Well, I don't know
they
about
because
that.
Of
no,
him.
No, that's a no. They won because of him.
Well, I think they won because they faced a team that finished like 3-13.
That was a win with.
Well, that's
game.
Fine.
That was a win with. Not
that's
a because.
Fine.
I mean,
don't give me all of those.
I just want you to give me the
games where you win and when Carson Wentz doesn't play well. My point is that usually when he plays well, they win. They win because of him, because of his play. And you're right, Joe. He doesn't usually play bad games. He may not have a great game every time he goes out there, but he's rarely horrible. Cincinnati game is rookie year. The New Orleans Saints game.
Yep.
I would probably say the Seattle game last year is the game
course.
I thought
That's
he
fair.
Was he was pretty bad
of
in
course.
Last year. But you're talking about in four seasons, three games
all right, but like,
where the guy has been bad. And to say that they win with him instead of because of him, first of all, you're just mincing words. That's just another ridiculous goalpost move that people like yourselves come up with to try to justify your thoughts and your narrative about Carson Wentz. The bottom line is that do you believe you can win a championship with Carson Wentz? That's all that matters. The idea whether or not he's supposed to be the best quarterback in the league, the number five quarterback in the league, that's just fodder for us to talk about and debate over. But in the end, all that matters is, do you believe you have a quarterback you can go win a championship with? And I don't know if you can say that about 10 other quarterbacks in this league. Yeah, quarterbacks will give you numbers. They'll give you this. They'll give you that. I don't know how many quarterbacks in here you truly believe you're going to go out and win a championship with him.
Depends what's around the quarterback.
Oh, does it really?
Of course.
Well, but forgive me, because that's news to me, because usually when – the LTBB community or anybody who is pro-Wentz brings that up, that is sort of viewed as an excuse. And then we start talking about what other guys do and how you're supposed to make guys better, this and the other, except when he makes guys better and drags them to the playoffs, oh, it was the level of competition he was playing against. See what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
You know why you guys get classified as haters? Hush up. I've listened to you long enough today. You know why you guys get classified as haters? It's not because you're critical of Carson. I don't think he's above criticism. Mm-hmm. I have my own critiques of his game.
Okay.
It's the fact that it's like pulling teeth to get any type of credit to be given to the guy. It's almost as if you're saying, ah, man, this guy, like, we're stuck with Carson Wentz. Like, that's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Like, that's a bad – like, we're stuck with – no, we are fortunate to have Carson Wentz. Do we all want a Patrick Mahomes, a Russell Wilson, a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers? Sure we do. But we have Carson Wentz, and that guy is good enough to go win a title with, provided the players around him play at that level as well.
But
that's why they won a Super Bowl.
But that's the difference.
Yeah.
Certain guys need – are so good, they don't need as much around him. I think he's a guy that needs more around him.
Well, give me the guys that don't need as much around them that has a championship team that can go win a championship. Give me those guys. Give me those list of guys.
Two guys that I don't think need as much around them to win consistently.
A championship.
Yeah, Mahomes and Wilson. Those guys are special. I don't think Wentz is in their class.
I'm sorry. How long has Russell been elite?
Russell's been elite for, I'd say, three or four years.
Before
that, he wasn't elite.
How many playoff wins did he have in that time?
Well, he won one last year here.
Is that the only one?
That might be the only one last year.
I think it would be the only one. So he's the elite quarterback that his only playoff win in the last 4 years, really since they got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, came against the backup quarterback in Josh McCown. And I agree with you. I love Russell Wilson. But you see how we move the goalposts for certain guys? Like, Carson doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Well, he hasn't earned it yet.
Well, I would say he has earned it. He's earned at least, maybe not to be called an elite quarterback, but he should be given the benefit of the doubt that he has the ability to be an elite quarterback.
He does have that. Let me say seven words to you, and I'm curious your response to this. Because these seven words, I believe, most Eagles fans would disagree with me on. And I'm curious where you come down. Seven words. Wentz. Good, but not great. Definitely not elite. Because most people that call WIP act that he is – like they front that he is an elite NFL quarterback.
Well, they believe that's what he can be.
Well, that's fine.
I agree.
And I agree he can be also.
Well, you got to also give me your elite status. What's your elite criteria?
I'll throw it this way.
And who are those quarterbacks that you would consider elite?
If you have an elite quarterback every year – you are surprised if the team doesn't win double-digit games. Like, something happened. Something drastic happened. The Eagles have won.
It's hard to win double-digit games in the NFL,
right,
Joe.
But the Peytons win them every year.
Well, when you got three Hall of Famers surrounding you, I guess Peyton can.
But Roethlisberger, it's not always just
about Peyton. Tell me the year Peyton had no talent around him.
Right, but
I don't know that.
That would be never.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That would be never.
Well, Carson Wentz just played with some talent, too. Come on, Zach.
A Hall of Fame wideout? A Hall of Fame running back?
How about an NFL caliber wideout? Can we get one of those?
There's other parts of pro football besides wide receivers.
Yeah. No. Well, you're right. I said a Hall of Fame running back. How about a world class defense that Peyton won his second Super Bowl with?
My definition is every year you're surprised they win less than 10 games. You're surprised elite quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I believe Mahomes is going to be in that category now. Peyton was, okay. Brady was. The Eagles have started 5-6 in three of Wentz's four seasons.
Okay.
So I got to see some 10, like keep stacking 10 win years.
I understand that those things are irrefutable when you talk about a record, except that I don't necessarily attribute the record of the team to the quarterback solely. I don't.
No, not solely.
No, that's
right.
What laymen's do.
I agree with you.
When they want to add a category to a quarterback.
But it's a common denominator.
It's a team sport. Wins and losses go to coaches, not players.
But the quarterback,
is Jason Peters 5-6? Are the other guys that played during that time 5-6?
Over a very long time. Isn't the quarterback that one common denominator over a long period of time? Mm-hmm. Franchise quarterback over a long period of time. He's usually the one.
Who's won the most games in the last 4 years?
Quarterback or coach?
Quarterback.
Well, I assume Brady. I don't know.
Well, the one guy that I want in there is
Breeze,
a guy that you
maybe?
Guys all. Dak Prescott is second.
Okay.
One playoff win.
Okay.
One playoff
he's
win.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he is a
good
quarterback.
Yeah, but why isn't he great? He's won more games than anybody else since he's been in the league except for Tom Brady.
I'm glad you brought up Dak. Let me address this.
Why isn't Dak elite?
And I would tell you Ike Reese is with us on the show, but you already know Ike's on the show.
Yes!
All right, let me say this, Ike.
You called for
Carson.
Me. Carson. I came.
A grouping.
Yes.
Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, who's been unfortunately almost forgotten.
Okay.
Carson Wentz. Maybe one or two others. I'd have to kind of think through who. It's the old Tony Romo group.
Mm-hmm.
You're not elite. You are a franchise quarterback, but you're not elite. You exist in that 7 to 12 range. That's where I believe Wentz is.
Okay.
Agree or disagree?
I can buy that.
Okay.
I can buy that. I mean, listen, the thing is the day, the flavor of the day in the category that you're arguing to put him in. See, if it's potential and what you think he can be, he has as much talent as anybody in the NFL, which means he can be an MVP candidate every year. He's an elite caliber quarterback. But if you want to talk about resume and what he's done, okay, he doesn't get lifted into that group because he needs to win in the postseason. He needs to win consistently. I agree with that. The MVP of the league last year has been in the postseason twice.
Hasn't played well in it.
And what's his record?
0-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a thing for him. Now, he's got to get over that. It's a big deal.
But everybody would agree he's a great quarterback, right? Or has that potential to be great.
Yeah, I think he's a special player.
He's been, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
I'm worried about him getting hurt.
My only point is that when you guys ask about why this fan base, those of us that ride hard for Carson Wentz, first of all, there are a couple of obvious reasons. He's our guy.
For sure.
That's obvious.
No question.
That's obvious. He's our guy. And secondly, we believe in him because it's not as if you're automatically our guy. The city as a whole is going to back you. If they don't believe in you,
like
they're going to call you out. Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's shown us enough to at least have hope and belief in him. Why wouldn't we as a fan base ride hard with him when people like yourselves, when you talk about him, you act as if it's a foregone conclusion that he'll never win. He isn't a quarterback that you can trust. There are so many other guys you would rather have than him. There's far too much of that type of discussion from those like you two than it is giving the guy credit for being the caliber of player that he is while stating at the same time, these are the things he still needs to do in order to reach an elite status.
It's
called being a little more fair and balanced.
I appreciate this. Let me just say
Celso, how I'm doing?
You're doing, Jimmy?
You're
crushing it right now.
Thank you, brother.
I appreciate it. I mean, I consistently reference that I think he's good, but not elite.
I would say very good.
I would not. But
I know you just said good.
There's another.
I've heard you.
Yeah, there's another part of this, though.
Yes.
You want to talk about things that don't get talked about. All right, let's talk about the injury factor and how it can change a player's career.
That doesn't get talked about with him?
Not in this sense. Andrew Toney, maybe on his way to the Hall of Fame, gets injured, done with the Sixers. Chase Utley, headed to the Hall of Fame, in all likelihood, degenerative knees, plays for another 7 or 8 years, never again a superior second baseman to the point where he's a backup for the Dodgers for the last couple of years of his career. Eric Lindros, half his career, high-level Hall of Famer, gets the concussion set in, back end of his career, just a guy. Ryan Howard, high-end Hall of Famer for the first half of his career, Achilles blown out, never again the same player.
Yeah.
It is possible that Carson Wentz will never reclaim what he was for whatever reason, whether it's mental related to the injury, whether it's physical related to the injury mobility-wise, whether it's a non-belief, something mechanics, something got thrown off. And it doesn't seem to me that enough fans, or even sometimes talk show hosts,
take into account how the injuries may have forever changed where his career heads.
Yeah, because I don't believe it, and neither do most people. And you may have gotten that conversation or those thoughts prior to last season because he was coming off a second straight year of dealing with a major injury. And so that was a fear in all of our in the back of all of our minds.
Yep.
But watching him play week after week last year slowly erased that. Doesn't mean he played great every week, but the idea that he can't get back to the level in which he plays comfortable, plays with no hesitation, and is the Bronco that we all know and love him to be, that started to erase as the season went on. And when they finally decided to put an offense in that would let the Bronco buck, you saw what he could do with inferior talent around him at the skill position. So the reason why that doesn't get brought up as much with us now, it's not that we've erased it. It's more or less that we're just hopeful that it doesn't continue to crop up. But the talent part of it is a no-brainer. Now it's about accomplishment. And let me say one thing about the Hall of Fame stuff. Now, this is the former player in me talking. And this also pertains to the word greatness that we throw around. He's not great. That's something that's accumulated over time. There are rare players that come along that you automatically classify them great within a year or two.
Like Mahomes.
Those are rare players.
Yep.
Those are rare players. True greatness at that position is established over a period of time and consistent play from that player. Now, what level of greatness you go to, it depends on what you accomplish at the end of every season. Is it postseason play? Are you putting championship trophies up in the cabinet? Those type of things. Are you playing at an all-pro level, Pro Bowl level every year? When you look at the end of his career, then we could talk Hall of Fame. It's foolish to talk about Hall of Fame with Carson Wentz because he has a decade, hopefully, of football left to play. And these things can change. Somebody can be on a Hall of Fame trajectory in their first 3 or 4 years and then don't do anything for the next decade, then where are they? So these things, when it comes to that level of greatness, that's accumulated over time. Carson isn't even in that type of discussion as far as I'm concerned. When I just look at the quarterbacks landscape in the NFL right now and guys that I want, a caller I heard said it a few calls ago, a guy that I want over the next 5 years, man, you can't tell me there's five quarterbacks in this league you'd rather have than Carson Wentz over the next 5 years. And that's all I care about. That's a window for me to win a Super Bowl with. Within the next 5 years, that's all I care about. And when he puts that trophy, the second one, in the case, you two, I'm going to make sure you're front and center at the parade. We're going to be at the steps because it won't be Jason Kelce giving the speech that day. It'll be the Bronco giving the speech that day.
I can't
and
wait.
Damn it, I'll be standing right there with him.
I can't wait, Ike.
God bless you, man.
Ike,
God bless you.
My hero.
2 o'clock today. Ike, who are you on with at 2 o'clock?
Oh, I'm back with Robbie the E later on. Jimmy, great job.
Thank you, sir.
Of holding it down. I saw the Bronco signal, and I couldn't get in here fast enough.
It's like the Batman signal.
Yes, it is.
Like, God bless.
You two Joes.
One more of these.
Average Joes. Average Joes, you two.
Hey, rather be a sloppy Joe, but what are you going to do? Let's go to the phones. A lot to react to from what Ike just had to say in there and that interaction of the three of us. 215-592-9494. What do you make of that all of that? And again, it's, as always, 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia. Joe DeCamera, Joe Giglio, was Ike Reese, will be in an hour, Ike Reese from the Tasty Cake Studio. To the phones we go, the Wentz thing. What do you make of it? And do you agree or disagree with, again, I'll apply the seven words I said, good, but not great, definitely not elite. Let's go to Ron in Monco. What's up, Ron?
Your personal best, Hammer, 1 hour. 55 minutes.
How about that? So,
yeah, your personal best, buddy. Listen, I don't know why I do this, but I feel the need to do it because it's a definition of insanity. Trying to do something and coming up with the same result as trying to convince you two about this quarterback is insanity, but I'm going to try anyway. Listen, he's not elite. He's not very good, okay? He's not top five, and I'm willing to say all that because he's not. Now, the question is why, okay? And this is where you guys just gloss over it and get right past it. You guys have said things in the conversation that go against your point, okay? Let me ask you a couple quick questions, guys, okay? Quickly, who do you think that you could have plugged in to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2018 and 2019 and gotten to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl?
Well, in 2018, lots of quarterbacks, Ron, to be honest with you. They were 5-6 with Carson Wentz in 2018, and they were 5-2 with Nick Foles. So that should answer the question of I think many quarterbacks could have won with the 2018 team. Last year, a little different.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you. Okay? Now let me ask you this question. Do you think Belichick would want Carson Wentz?
I mean, over nothing? Sure. But I don't think he's...
What do you mean over nothing?
Over Cam? Yes, he would take Carson Wentz over Cam Newton for sure. 100 million percent time to question.
Let me tell you something. Over Cam. He would take him in a New York minute. And let me ask you another question. Do you think Big Red, how would Wentz do on Kansas City Chiefs?
He probably would do well. He wouldn't do well as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he would do well. Listen, guys, you guys are missing the boat here.
Yeah, you want to rip Doug Peterson. This is what you do, Ron.
Listen to me. It's not just Doug Peterson, man. It's not just him. He's let him down. The owners let him down. Howie Roseman has definitely let him down. Okay, when you go and you pick him at number two, okay, and you said this yourself, Joe, he doesn't deserve it. Well, he does deserve it, Joe. He was a number two pick. You gave him a monster contract. And then instead of go getting him receivers that he needs, okay, and the other things that he needs, you go and get his replacement. Come on, man.
All right, Ron,
this kid may be done. Hammer, I asked you this question a while ago. Is the glass half full or the glass half empty with him? That's the question at this point. And I'm going to tell you, with Peterson, you're never going to get back to a Super Bowl.
Okay. Iconic moment from the 80s, Ron. What is it?
Like your head, Pet Rock.
All right. You got, what did he say?
Like pet your head, rock. Pet Rock. Remember the Pet Rock?
Oh, the Pet Rock. What, like the Chia Pet thing?
No, it was a Pet Rock.
I don't know Pet Rock.
People had Pet Rocks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have one.
I think it was kind of like a Chia Pet.
You know what? I did a little tactic there. Every once in a while I'll do. It's rare, but every once in a while. Someone will talk so much, and they'll talk so almost exhaustively. Like, I think Ron needs to maybe go take a nap after all that. Like, at the end of the call, I'll just say, okay.
And they don't know what to do.
I mean, first off, he's coming after me and you, Joe. And yet he's agreeing that Carson's not elite.
I was confused in there a little
bit.
I agree with you guys, but this is why you're wrong.
Right. I'm wrong, but I agree with you. He's not elite. See, and that's the thing. People here are not elite, and they think that means I'm dogging on Carson. It doesn't. There's a lot of people in Philadelphia. You know who's elite in Philadelphia sports? Let's go for it. Fletcher Cox, well, he was an elite defensive tackle. I would say still is.
Jason Kelce.
Kelce is elite.
Kelce, Carter Hart. Claude Giroux, Provorov,
Realmuto and Harper.
I said the wrong R. Realmuto and Harper and Nola.
Correct. Yep.
And Embiid. That's it. Now, listen, it doesn't say that Carson's not part of the discussion of the most important players in Philadelphia sports. I mean,
he's the quarterback of the Eagles.
He's
right.
The most important player.
He is the, yes, single
he's,
most
he's the single most important player. But I don't believe he's elite. And I don't think it means I'm a bad guy for pointing that out. Joe?
No. And it's also circumstantial. Like, we're in an era right now where there's a lot of good quarterbacks. You mentioned those names, 7-12, whatever they are, right? Dak and Ryan. Like, there's really, when you list the quarterbacks out, you start getting to 10-12, you got good quarterbacks.
Yeah, you do.
You know, once in a while, it's a downturn in quarterbacks. You could have a guy that's okay, and he's 8. That's not where we're at right now. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL.
And
let me
ask a question to Seltzer. James, I laid out earlier a list of players. Now, Andrew Toney's an extreme example. It ended his career. But I listed earlier players like Chase Utley, Eric Lindros, and Ryan Howard, who continued to play for a long time after their injury or injuries set in, but were never nearly as good as they previously had been. Why is it that most people seem to think that might not apply to Carson?
Well, first of all, we did see the last four games of last season where he looked like the guy from 2017.
He did.
Say whatever you want about competition, whatever. He looked, to the eye test, like the guy we saw then.
I agree.
So I think that's a big part of it right now, having this discussion.
Yep.
I also think that it's not a degenerative thing. I mean, Lindros, it was concussions. It was something where you know, it really screwed. Like you didn't know there was a mystery how that could play out with him. Utley, it was the knee. It was degenerative with Wentz. Like theoretically, he's fully healthy, so the injury right. shouldn't be something that has that type of long term impact.
I agree, and yet he's regressed.
But I also
which
think,
makes me
again,
wonder how much of it is mental.
Again, I think you guys underrate the 2018 regression was because of the injury. It was the broken back, I think, was a result of favoring the knee. I don't think he was ready to come back, came back too quickly. And then 2019, again, no offseason to focus on football, just worrying about rehabbing. Carson Wentz has had one offseason to actually worry about football and only football and not his body. And he was an MVP candidate after it.
Well, if that theory is true and it's real and it applies, then physically he should be great this year.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know what the team's going to be. I don't know if the offensive line is going to be as good. But he physically should look like 2017 yeah. all year if that theory kind right. of plays out.
Let me – one more for James. One more question. And again, 215-592-9494. James, will you cede the point that if Carson is not better – in 2020, then let's say we have an actual football season. He's not better in 2020 than he was in 2018 and 2019, and he's not injured. You'll be pretty darn disappointed.
Yeah, look, again, context matters. Again, if he loses his entire wide receiving core, those are the types of things we have to have discussions about. But yeah, to put it in different terms, I expect Carson Wentz to be much better this year than he was in 2018 and the first part of 2019.
All right, 215-592-9494. Up ahead, I said we'll hit it next segment. Baseball, on the fly, thinking about a change for the playoffs. What it is, we'll hit that. Rock all the calls. Your reaction on the Wentz conversation. Joe DeCameron, Joe Giglio, 94 WIP.
Sports are finally back, and I've been taking in all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. What a time we're in right now. A full slate of baseball outside, obviously, of St. Louis, PGA, NBA, and, of course, Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. Starting now, FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app, and here's why. The app is super easy to use. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or new to wagering, you'll find what you're looking for in just a few taps. And once you win, FanDuel pays you out in as little as 24 hours. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook will let you place your first bet risk-free. Just place any bet you want and get up to $500 back if you don't win. My favorite thing to do these days is the multi-sport parlays. A couple baseball games, a couple basketball games. I'm in with action all day long, and I will be tonight. This week, if you place a pregame moneyline wager on your favorite basketball team and they're winning after the third quarter but still lose the game, you'll get a refunded site credit of max up to $50. FanDuel.com/Giglio to get started. So you know what I'm saying. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.